The conference has been muted.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome aboard. Welcome back from Yom Tov. We're going to dive back into the first parak of Masilas Yesharim. We're here at the very beginning. If you're following along in the Safari edition, we're looking at Parak Aleph, Paragraph Beis, Paragraph 2. If you're looking at Prince of Masilas Yesharim, we are at the second sentence. You know, remember we saw last time, a chance to see last time the opening sentence or two. Amchal sets up the fundamental question. He says the fundamental root of everything, the foundation of everything, is to ask myself one or two key questions. Remember we saw, he said, the beginning of everything, the foundation, the root, is to have clarity and reality. So he translated based on the Petrovsky, she is by rare views on this. In my mind, cognitively, she asked me the question, I have clarity about the answer to the question of why am I here. Now as a borrower, but it's emes. It's real. I feel it in my kishkas. This is a reality to me, that sense of why am I here. And again, we spoke last time about Volba's Ta'ara, that the opening pair of synonyms, Yisod and Shorish, speak to the fact that the process that we're entering into is one of building and also of cultivating, nurturing natural organic growth. And that's why we speak both about the Yisod foundation, which is the beginning of a artificial process of construction, brick upon brick, together with a Shorish, a root, which speaks to the beginning of a process of self-realization of the natural growth. So what we aim to do, Vavla is speaking about being mechanic with children, and it's equally true being mechanic ourselves. We're aiming for a blend of the two, a structure that will allow for natural internal growth. And for that process to get started, we need borrower and emes, the mental clarity and feeling in one's guts. Answer to the question of why am I here in theory and practically speaking, where ought I to invest my energies? And that was the opening sentence. Mr. Sean, line one. Paragraph house. And then we began last time to look at paragraph space. It's just we're talking about the answer. Why are we here? Why are we here? And he gave the answer that we would not have expected. He gave the answer that not expected here. Hakadosh Baruch Hu put us into mitzvahs. Hakadosh Baruch Hu put us here to fulfill His ratzon. Hakadosh Baruch Hu put us here to improve ourselves. Hakadosh Baruch Hu put us here to, as some Chassidish Rebbe said, to raise the heavens. He doesn't say that. Mashuunu Chazal is, he writes in paragraph Beis, Adonai Nivra Elus Hanegel Hashem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu created us to enjoy for pleasure. It happens to be that the greatest pleasure is Ribono Shalom, and the truest place to enjoy that pleasure is Olam Haba. So I believe last time we ended off by beginning to develop this idea. It's rooted in the perspective that Ramchal explained here briefly, and he explained the great length in Derech Hashem and elsewhere, and it's Arya Kaplan in his footnotes on, and glorious footnotes on Derech Hashem. It's worth in the Feldheim edition, not only for the translation, it's worth it just for the footnotes alone, or cornucopia. Because the Derech Hashem is an encyclopedia, Ramchal's encyclopedia of Machshava, but in very much in Rambam style in many ways, one of which is, as in Masilas Yesharim, simply only quote one shita, and won't tell you who he's quoting. Anyone after Chazal. So Ayah Kaplan his footnotes will give you legions of number one sources for the idea that the Ramchal is quoting, as well as the sources who disagree. So in Sefer Hashem, he points out this, the following idea that is already expressed in Emunah Hadeis, Baruch Sajigon, around 1,000 years ago. And as Ramchal himself points out, both here and Derech Hashem, it has its roots already in Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos. That Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to create the universe. He did not need to, as Rav Chaim Volozhin reminds us. Kadosh Baruch Hu has no needs. Kadosh Baruch Hu was interested in creating the universe. And to the extent that we can understand what his motivation was or what his goal was, he was interested in being beneficial. He was interested in doing good for others, which requires two items. Others and good, and a way in which to convey that good. So we are those others. We are Krishna Kriyas to be recipients of his beneficence, to be recipients of his good. And as Rav Chaim goes on to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu is called Yaho. Kadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent. He can do as he wishes. So the ultimate engineer designed the context which is meant for maximum transmission, delivery of goodness. That is Olam Haba. And that's exactly what Rav Chaim writes here. Makama Eden Azed Emesu Olam Haba. Ki Yuh Anivar Ba'achal V'Sherech V'Zavazeh. Olam Haba was designed with that objective in mind. Olam Hazeh was not, as he goes on to say in paragraph Yom HaDerech Kedei Lagia El Mechoz Chetzein Hazeh, the way to get there, the way to arrive at Olam Haba is Zeh HaOlam. And that's what Rav Chaim develops at greater length in Derech Hashem, but we'll see pieces of it in the upcoming lines in Sefer Sharm as well. Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to create the world such that we'll enjoy goodness most when it's something that we've earned. Perhaps in part because it's in that way that we're most like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Given the stam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, most HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely independent of anything else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly in charge of himself. No one else is in charge of Baruch Hu. To the extent that we can be, to some extent, masters of our own destiny, to the extent that we can at least be junior partners in creating our Olam Haba, we enjoy our Olam Haba, we're misdamet HaKadosh Baruch Hu that much more, and we, as a result, and at least the result of that, and perhaps other factors as well, when we created our Olam Haba in some sense, we earned it through our action Olam Hazeh, the Olam Haba is that much more good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create the universe in this way, that we'll enjoy the goodness that much more if we've earned it. And so he creates a second context in which we exist and operate, and that's Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh was designed not for transmission of delivery of goodness. That's not the main objective. The main objective of Olam Hazeh is to be a place of Nisayim, to be in the ultimate arena of challenge. And that explains to us how Ramchal can tell us that the greatest goodness, the most intense pleasure imaginable, is the pleasure of the Baruch Hashem, the pleasure of Olam Haba. As he said here, in paragraph 2, that we have no to enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also the Jewish to enjoy, no exactly what the terms mean, but to derive pleasure from the glow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shina, in closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a tanug ha'amitiva idun ha'gadun mikol idun mishachom l'mate, the greatest pleasure possible. So that's really a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. That Mishnah says, Shachas of Kosh Ruch Ba'om Haba, one whiff, one hour, so to speak, one little bit of the pleasure of Olam Haba is greater than all the pleasure of Olam Hazeh combined, which at first may strike us as being surprising. They tell me that the greatest pleasure, Kadosh Baruch Hu prays for pleasure, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to be happy, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to enjoy, that's what we do. So a Jew might say, that's how you get your pleasure. So fine, you get your pleasure from Texas, you get your pleasure from helping other people, you get your pleasure from becoming a more refined person. I tell them, I'll get my pleasure from some other physical pleasure, legal or illegal, illicit or illicit. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting it for pleasure, so why can't I choose what I want to do? So the response is implied by what Ramchal just told us. Because whether the pleasure, particular pleasure, Olam Hazeh is legal or illegal, mutter or aser, illicit or illicit, either way, we believe in Munash Shleima that that pleasure was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So like, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't know about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it pleasurable. What any pleasure in the world is pleasurable because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it to be so. And he himself created this entire universe not primarily as a place of pleasure. Everything we find in this world, all the other items we find in this world are, as he told us, are meant to be props enable the trillions of nisyanos that billions of people are going through. So the pleasures of this world are, Krishna Baruch Hu may have various goals in mind for the pleasures of this world, whether it's to provide tzar or to enable a nisyan or whatever it may be. But either way, it's really not, it's incidental. It's not the primary goal of the design of the universe. While the primary goal of the design of Olam Haba is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide us with pleasure. So it stands to reason logically that all the pleasure in this universe, all the pleasure in Olam Hazeh, combined, compressed into a single point, a single speck, a single moment, does not begin to hold a candle to even a little bit of the pleasure of Olam Haba, which was designed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a place of maximal delivery of pleasure. So that's actually beginning to be logical. Whatever pleasures we dream of Olam Hazeh, it can't begin to compare. World pleasure all to create by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as incidental to this world. So the place that he designed primarily as a predominantly the place of pleasure, Olam Haba, could be that much greater. So that brings us back here. The greatest HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to enjoy the greatest pleasure possible. It's far more than what it is. The pleasure of Olam Hazeh compared to Olam Haba, it's like the Monopoly money. It's real money. You go over to a child, play a Monopoly. He loves his Monopoly set, and you offer him a $20, Chris playing Monopoly bill, a crumpled $20 bill for his whole collection of Monopoly money. So he looks at you in horror. He takes me for a fool. You offer me just $20. I'm supposed to give you tens of thousands of dollars of Monopoly money. He doesn't realize, of course, with perspective, the $20 of legal tender are worth way, way more than the tens of thousands of dollars of Monopoly money, which is Zom Shem Avakach. That he lacks that perspective to see the difference between your money and Monopoly money. It's the same as true with Idunei Olam Hazeh versus Idunei Olam Haba. So that's what the Ruchal says. Kadosh Baruch will create the world. Why are we here? Ultimately, we're here because Baruch wants to have the best time possible. And not just to enjoy the Monopoly money, nothing wrong with enjoying the Monopoly money of Tanugi Olam Hazeh. But they're so shallow compared to as good as they are, Tanugi Olam Hazeh, they don't begin to hold candle to the profundity of the pure pleasure of Olam Haba. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to pray us so we can enjoy that. And they go on to say it again in paragraph Kimmel. The way to get there is to the choices we're going to make here. Aderach, they're like, you are Machos Chatzin Hazeh. The way, the path, the trail that will take us to that glorious destination of Olam Haba, the trail is Olam Hazeh. Umashah Muzichom Avacha, Olam Hazeh Dom Laprozda B'Sei Olam Haba. That's exactly what Chazal meant when they said in Mishnah Perkei Avos that Olam Hazeh is the lobby to get into Olam Haba. It's not Olam Haba. It's not the end goal. But at the same time, it is the critical way there. To the extent that we recognize the magnitude of the goal of Olam Haba, to that extent we also recognize the magnitude of the value of Olam Hazeh as a means to that end. And that brings us to paragraph 4. I am sorry, Hamagima, if I'm a tachas. Now they realize where I'm trying to get to. So what are the tools? What's the trail? How do I use Olam Hazeh to bring me next to Mitzvah Olam Haba? So what are the means to get me there? Hey, my mitzvah says, Tziva Olam Haba, tell you, Baruch Shem. That's where mitzvahs come in. The mitzvahs do play a critical role in context. Because Baruch Hu creates two mitzvahs. Because Baruch Hu creates to enjoy Olam Haba. Mitzvahs are the way to get there. Mitzvahs are the way to use Olam Hazeh properly. To do Olam Hazeh right. Hey, my mitzvah says, Tziva Olam Haba, tell you, Baruch Shem. The place to do mitzvahs, rock by Olam Hazeh. In paragraph Dallas. Okay, Husama Adam Bizah Olam Bitchiva. That's why Boshan put us here first. That's why, because the plan is Olam Hazeh first, Olam Haba second. Today, Shaidan, from Ailab is Damnim Rokan, through all the means that come to hand here, all the opportunities to be challenged and to grow and to make the right choices and to choose mitzvah to avoid others, because here, Dafke in Olam Hazeh, you have Agir Makom Shehuchala. I'll thereby ultimately arrive at the destination for which I was, which is meant for me, which is Olam Haba. And there I'll be able to enjoy goodness beyond imagine. I can't begin to imagine with my narrow perspective, almost, I can't begin to imagine the depth of pleasure, the depth of the tov. Who Masharu, I says Gemara Erev, also commented on the two-step structure. Hayom Lasos Samachol Kavosar. Today we do mitzvahs. Tomorrow, in the next stage of life, now about we get the sas. Now the two stages, we need to do first one. That there's a time order. First comes Amazon, and then comes Amazon. And he's going to next week, which Hashem will continue to read deeper into the parak, where he develops this idea more of noticing logically, looking around at the world, begin to realize there must be more. What you see is not what you get. There must be more life than merely all of that. And he's going to go on to talk about some of the practical implications of this living this sort of awareness. This, after all, is the idea that he said is the basis of a life of growth. This is sort of Chassidus v'Shaar Shabbat Tima, understanding this idea. We're here ultimately to enjoy pleasure beyond compare, and the way to get there is through mitzvahs and amazem. Let me just end with one muscle to appreciate the idea that we were just discussing. This notion that we can't begin to understand the depth, the profundity, the magnitude, the greatness of Tanuvia Om Haba. Rambam gives a mashal at one point in Harkadama to Parak Chelek in Pirshei Mishnayos. He says, imagine trying to explain colors to someone who's blind, who's been blind from birth. Chamal son, a person who was born without sight, he'd never seen in his life. He tried to explain to him the difference between sky blue and royal blue and navy blue. He don't get the ground. He doesn't even know what blue is. He doesn't know what green is. He doesn't know what red is. Trying to get into finer points. And I would add, as the blind fellow is a physicist, he might be able to theoretically understand that there's, you know, the whole spectrum of electromagnetic radiation and a certain band of that spectrum that most people have organs that can sense. Most of us have eyes that can sense visible light. And he knows in theory there's such a concept. He may even know that those organs that we have, the eyes that we have, not able to sense light, but we're able to sense what the particular wavelength sense, which is what we call color. So he can understand that in theory. But you know, don't have to really have an intuitive sense of what color is to appreciate these nuances. It's all going to be highly theoretical. And that's sort of the way we can understand that if we know what Amazah is, and we understand the relation to Amazah and Lapa, we can begin to imagine that the Tanud Amazah must be far greater than the sum total of all Tanud Amazah. But we can understand that in theory, as a contours of the idea, we ought to realize that we don't even have an intuitive sense of it. Like there's a book that was written more than 100 years ago by an English headmaster. Name is Edward Abbott, called Flatland. It's a novel, it's a social satire, and has, I think, a lot of value for appreciating our limitation in understanding Kadosh Baruch Hu, understanding things that are out of our ken. He imagines in this novel a two-dimensional universe, two-dimensional creatures live in two-dimensional houses. Everything happens in a flat plane. And people are really shapes, they're just polygons. He develops it at length. And he says, and they can't understand that there's a third dimension. Because they've never lived it. They've never experienced it. As someone comes from a third dimension, pops into their houses, into their buildings from the third dimension. To us, it's intuitive, it's obvious. But their entire experience, all the sum of all our intuitions is based on the sum of our experiences. All their experiences have been two dimensions. So that they can't intuit, they may understand the third dimension, they can't intuit it. You and I can't intuit higher dimensional space, more than three dimensions. The blind from birth may be able to theoretically understand color. It doesn't have an intuition about it. So we have to realize that if some of our experiences have been in the narrow confines of Al-Mazev, we can understand theoretically, Al-Mazev must be that much grander, that much greater. just like we can understand your theory that HaKadosh Baruch created time and space, and then within that box seats to create a universe, so then obviously HaKadosh Baruch stands outside of that. But we can't intuit what that means, because all of our experiences are within the bounds of time and space. We can't intuit theoretically to understand Mama is Mama, Mama, Makam. We don't have an intuitive feel for it. So it's important to realize here. We can't intuitively feel it. Oh, Mama must be that much greater. But we should keep in mind at least the concept. And that is, so that begins to put everything into perspective. And in Blinetto next week, we will continue to develop this idea, begin to see how this, why this is such a fundamental idea. This perspective on the value of Alma Zeh as being a part of a larger structure of an Alma Zeh, Alma Haba combination.
The conference has been muted.
Glad to take questions. The floor is now unmuted.
The conference has been unmuted.
Any questions? Glad to take questions now, or we can talk offline going forward. I want to wish you all a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and we will be in touch going forward. Yashar Koach, thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks a lot.